Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil. Bellerín, qué golazo.
Magnífico.
Gol. Qué golazo de Bellerín. Gol del Arsenal. Gran gol de Bellerín, 1-0.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra. As always, with James from Gunnerblog. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
How's it all going?
It's going fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, not too bad. We've got a sunny week in London.
Yeah, we're having some not rain here too. It's great.
Amazing. You brought it back from Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah. We got had a bit of a barbecue yesterday evening. That was good. Was warm.
That is good, isn't it? It's rarely a barbecue doesn't improve things.
That's very true. That's very true. Just a burger and some chicken, but it was nice to sit in the back garden and eat things and drink some nice cold wine.
That's what it's for at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's your new place?
New place is fine, yeah. It's very quiet at the moment. My flatmate's gone away, and he said he'd be back last night, but he's not. So
Are you worried that he might have fallen victim to some kind of serial killer?
Well, he went to Liverpool, so I'd say the chances of that are quite high.
Mm, yes.
but I am a little concerned, but I'm also enjoying the solitude, so swings and roundabouts.
Yes, yes. There is a lot to be said for having time to contemplate one's own existence.
I'll just level with you, by the way.
Yeah?
Don't really know what the phrase swings and roundabouts means.
Well...
Do you?
Yeah.
It's just something I throw into conversation... But I've got no idea how to explain what it means to anyone.
Isn't it the case that it swings and roundabouts? It's sort of like, you know, you've got to accept some good with some bad and that kind of thing. I don't know which is the good thing or the bad thing, though. Swings
is that the
or
same
roundabouts.
As, yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't know which I prefer.
Yeah.
I'm probably more of a roundabout man because I had an accident on a swing as a child.
Right.
Where I sort of went up and over the top, you know?
Yeah. That's, yeah, that could colour one's opinion of swings.
I mean, I am quite accident prone. People listening to the podcast will pick that up over the years.
Yes. Swings and roundabouts. I'm just looking it up here just to see what it means. Something you say to describe a situation in which there are as many advantages as there are problems.
Okay, so I did sort of use it correctly.
Yeah.
Is apples and oranges the same?
Well, no, they're not the same because they're very different.
Right.
They're quite different indeed.
Okay, okay. Yeah. To a swing and a roundabout to each other.
Well, of course, of course. What's your preference, apples or oranges?
Apples, mate.
Really?
Yeah, do you not?
No. Oranges, all the way.
Have you seen they've started making orange cider?
What?
Yeah.
Surely it's very definition. You know, that couldn't work. Orange cider, really?
Yeah, first they started with the pears, then they moved on to berries.
Summer fruits.
Exactly. Limes got involved. Finally, they've landed on orange.
Don't
know what took them so long.
Damn you, Copperberg. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I presume it's them, the crazy ones. You wouldn't have any of that nonsense down here in Ireland.
Copperberg or Recordlig or some other unspellable brand.
Yeah. It's, people, why can't you just stick with the apples?
I know.
Do it, you know.
So I like an apple. You're not as keen.
No, definitely not. I just find them too much work. You know,
more than an orange. You've got to peel an orange, mate.
Yeah, I know, but I'm good. I like things with my hands. I'm tactile like that. You see, I don't want to do
all
the
show
work.
Off with your two functioning hands.
Yeah. Speaking of which. How did you get the cast off yet? Or
that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Cast gate. Although I have read your blog this morning, in which you speculate at some length about whether I might be prepared to injure myself. So we've got something to talk about on this show.
Yeah.
Now I'm nothing if not a team player.
Okay.
So I've brought a number of implements with me. And if it comes to it, we've got that in the locker.
Right. Well, look, I have to say that I'm impressed.
I mean, I've got a big knife.
Right.
I've got a spoon. Don't know what I would do with that.
Could gouge out one of your eyes with a spoon.
Potentially. A cheese grater.
Certainly that could be used. Yeah.
And then I've got just a set of keys. So, again, that's for sort of minor stabbing injuries.
Right. Well, look, you know, your commitment to the art form is unparalleled, really, because I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be too many other podcasters out there who would, if it came right down to it, injure themselves on air, live on air. Well, it's live for us. You know what I was thinking, actually, before we get back to the bits about you hurting yourself deliberately? We should probably periscope one of these or something. Would it be weird if I periscoped and you periscoped at the same time and it was like slight delay? We could cause a rift in the space-time continuum.
That'd be like time travel.
Yeah.
We should do that. I mean, I don't actually have Periscope on my phone at the moment, but next time.
Yeah,
sure.
Next time. I've got it, but I'm kind of afraid to push it because then it's like, I'm live on the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there'll be somebody who'll go, your costume is not sexy enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm often saying that to you about your costumes that you wear for the podcast.
It's my big worry.
Make a big effort. I like this, though, because now this podcast feels a bit like the bus in Speed. It's like if it drops between a certain level of chat, someone's going to get hurt.
Well, when you say someone, we mean you, of course.
I'm going to hurt myself with these influences, is what I mean.
Right.
I have been getting recognised more because of the cast. That's been interesting.
Because of the podcast? Were you being a bit informal about the podcast or the actual cast on your arm?
When I say cast, I think it's the cast on my arm. Basically, in the past month, a lot more often people have been going to me, got a blog, or whatever. And I thought briefly that I might be sort of more, more successful, more prolific in my work. But then I've realised it's the visual clue of the cast, I think, that is enabling people to work it out quicker.
This is, if nothing else, more evidence that you hurting yourself and doing damage to yourself is beneficial for your career.
Right.
You see?
Right.
So nobody...
And you're not saying that just because you've got nothing to talk about on the podcast, are you?
No, not at all. And not because I would take any pleasure in you being injured or hurt in any way. I just want to make that very clear.
I just want to make sure you're not just setting me up here.
No, not at all. But I think I saw a video last week of a guy who claims to have met you in the park. And
Chris, his name was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he did like a video, what's the one you do after the whistle?
Well, I do like On the Whistle or something, and he did like a little parody version, didn't he, of meeting me.
Yeah.
That was quite surreal. Nice bloke, though. And so there have been like quite a few incidents like that. A guy whose name escapes me took a photo of me walking down the street and tweeted it at me.
Really?
I think he'll be killing me next week, I imagine.
For sure. You want to move house again.
Yeah. well, this was in central London, nowhere safe. A woman on the train asked me to tell her the time and then said, it is you then. Just wanted to check the voice.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
That was quite weird. this is happening with sort of distressing regularity. I mean, it's very nice. What's interesting is most people, when they get recognised, they sort of like, if they're with other people, they're like, excuse me, I'm with someone else. And when they're on their own, that's fine. For me, it's the inverse. If I'm on my own, generally I'm scared. If I'm with other people, it looks vaguely impressive. So if you could try and keep it when it looks like I'm trying to impress someone, that would be appreciated.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think that's something the public owes you.
Yeah, well, definitely,
You know.
For all these free podcasts.
Absolutely. And the injuries that are bound to be sustained over the course of the next 40 minutes or so.
Taking one for the team again and again.
Yeah. So look, nothing happening.
Nothing happening, no.
No check?
No check. I was vaguely hoping he might be announced while we were, inverted commas, on air. So we could, I don't know, talk about what his Puma hat looks like or his controversial decision to take the cursed number 9 shirt.
Yeah, that would be hilarious, actually. Check 9.
Yeah. It'd be up there with Gallas 10, wouldn't it?
It really would. So, but I think that's, from everything we can gather, it's just a matter of things being dotted and crossed. If he had a medical on Friday, and all the fee is agreed and personal terms are agreed, then it's surely just a matter of making it official. So, we shouldn't be worried.
No, I don't think so. I mean, basically, if you think about the spelling of Czech, there's actually that sort of weird accent on the C. It's like a kind of upside-down triangle. And I imagine what's happening is the club shop are desperately trying to fashion something to represent that on the shirt.
They just would have to get really teeny tiny V's.
Yeah.
Turn like them upside down.
Children's V's. Oh, it's not even upside down. Sorry, it's the right way up.
Oh, it's the right way up. Okay.
So they just need a tiny, tiny V. But I imagine, yeah, the you know, the Arsenal.com page is being loaded with that, yeah, particular thing in the in their font.
They probably don't have the font thing, yeah.
Exactly. That's the only explanation.
Other than that, it's pretty deathly quiet unless you want to delve into the world of Arturo Vidal.
I was about to say, what do you mean? Aren't we signing Arturo Vidal?
We probably signed him already.
Yeah, there's some sort of font issue holding up.
They're using all the V's for Czech.
Sure.
That's the problem.
Sure. this was quite a surreal story, wasn't it? Because I believe it was one of those where the man who kind of sparked it all has since pulled off his mask in a Scooby-Doo-esque reveal to say, yeah, there was no Argentinian journalist on the radio. I am an evil genius and you're all fools.
I have fooled you all.
Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, look, in fairness, you have to tip your hat and give all the credit to a man who set up a fake Twitter account to give fake information. Nobody has ever thought of doing that before.
It's groundbreaking stuff.
It really is.
What I like about it is that I think he then went on to tweet something like, that this is just to prove to you all that, you know, you shouldn't believe everything you read. I like that, like all supervillains, he kind of has a mad logical justification for his actions. Like, he believes he's doing some good. Do you know what I mean?
When it happened, I was like, oh my God, you shouldn't believe everything you read on Twitter and on the internet? Thank goodness for this guy. He's provided the world a service, because until now, pretty much everything that I read, I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay. All right, okay.
Finally, you'll be forced to discern. Thanks to this guy, he's really, you know, fortunately, I don't remember his name because I would hate to give him the oxygen of publicity.
Yeah.
But no, we're not signing Arturo Vidal, are we? I mean, that's, or at least if we are, it's unconnected to all these stories.
Yeah. But that's the thing about transfer rumours. It's like, well, nah, this is all bullshit. It's not happening. I made it up. But still, maybe we might be signing him. Because this guy 3 months ago said this. And, you know, I mean, there are reasons why you might think it's a logical or a potential signing for Arsenal. But, you know, I think
it's... Are there, though? I mean, I'm not sure it is that logical. Because...
No, okay, logical is not the right word. Because it's very difficult to see how he fits into our team.
Yeah.
To be honest, because he's not a DM, is he? He's like a blunderbussing, high energy, high octane career around the midfield like a mad bastard kind of a player.
Yeah, he's a bit of an Alexis in midfield, I guess.
Yeah.
The energy levels. But like whoscored.com, another plug there, do a good sort of service where they show you where a player actually played over the course of the season. And the majority of his games actually came as like an attacking midfielder, you know, like almost in number 10 in terms of deployment.
Well, so, we certainly don't have enough of those.
Exactly, yeah, the aching gap in the squad to plug. But I think the whole Ramsey, Wilshere thing suggests that Vidal would be a surprising signing.
Yeah, it would, unless we were considering moving somebody on.
Dun, dun, dun. Are you just saying that speculatively, or are you telling me that Jack Wilshere's definitely leaving?
No, I just made that up. I didn't make that up, but I'm just saying that, you know, yeah, that would be the reason why it happened.
He would like a new contract, wouldn't he, Jack Wilshere? He's making a lot of noises about that sort of thing.
What kind of noises? Like, that kind of a noise? Is that his new contract?
Please give him more money.
It's sort of like that kind of thing.
Right, but, well, in fairness, that would be one way of getting a new contract, wouldn't it? You just go in and sit at the manager's desk and just make noises until he gives you a new contract.
Like Joel Campbell got his new deal, apparently.
Yeah.
Before the move to Villarreal, he just wouldn't move. And actually, Joaquin Bataker sat at the back of the room with a xylophone playing that to accompany Joel.
Right.
Eventually, Arsene was like, get Dick Law in here. We need to extend this contract. I cannot stand this anymore.
These noises are doing my fucking head in, man.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Well, I don't... Yeah, maybe... Does he get a new contract yet? Maybe he's, you know, in the situation where he's got to, you know, stay fit.
Well, I think what's happened is, so he signed one not too long ago, I think 2 years ago, something like that. And he's doing a lot of quotes saying, I want the club to show they love me, which in football terms means give me more money. And I think, I'm not 100% on this, but I think he may have changed agent relatively recently.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think that is possibly a part of it. But don't, I mean, obviously you're all going to quote me on that. But I'm only about 80% sure on that.
Gunnar
but,
Blog says Jack Wilshere has got a new agent.
Well, it, often these things coincide. New agent equals new deal equals money for new agent. So
right,
we shall. That'll be an interesting one to watch. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, though, despite all these Manchester City stories.
No, I don't think so. I think Arsene Wenger really, really likes Jack Wilshere and wants him to be a part of the team, as we've seen you know, throughout last season, where I won't say he was shoehorned into the team, but you know, certainly there were attempts made to get him and Ramsey into the midfield. And, you know, there's a lot of work gone into Jack Wilshere over the last year. So I think any possibility of a move this summer is completely out of the question, which is just about as big a guarantee as you can get that he's going to move to Manchester City now, having said that.
Of course, but, the ultimate jinx. What about, have you watched any of the Copa America or the Women's World Cup?
Not a single minute of any of it. I've been completely, not avoiding football, but just not watching any football, because there's a long season ahead, a very long season ahead, particularly because it starts so early on August the 2nd, and then we go into the European Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's all that still to come. So I'm sort of having a football watching break. I'm still playing football, but not watching it so much.
Sure. Well, listen, any, you know, and you won't care, obviously being from another aisle. But as I've got to say, as an Englishman, seeing a team progress beyond the quarterfinals of the World Cup relatively comfortably and effectively is a real novelty.
Yeah.
Honestly, I urge you all. I think Wednesday night they play the semi-final.
Who are they playing? This is the England Japan. Ladies.
England ladies, the Lionesses, they're playing Japan, who are the world champions.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's definitely worth a watch. I watched the quarterfinal against Canada and really enjoyed it.
Where is it being held?
It is in Canada. So England knocked out the hosts, I believe. You know, but it's got to be done.
A couple of Arsenal players involved as well, aren't there?
Yeah.
Arsenal indeed. Ladies?
Indeed. So, you know.
Excellent.
Bit of a Gunner's interest as well.
All right.
So yeah, do keep an eye on that. And the Copa America has been good fun because they've been penalty shootouts, and personally, I find penalty shootouts brilliant and hilarious.
I love penalty shootouts. I don't know why everyone has a negative opinion of them. I think it's easily the best way to solve a stalemate.
Yeah, and well, what's good about the Copa America is they're not even bothering with extra time. They're like 90 minutes.
Oh, really? 90 minutes and straight into penalties?
Yeah, they don't mess around.
That's fucking brilliant.
They know what the people want. It's that thing where people go, the commentators always say, no one wants to see a game decided on penalties. What bullshit. Everyone wants to see a game decided on penalties, surely.
Yeah, I do. I think it's brilliant. And these people who say penalty shootouts are a lottery are assholes. They're idiots. Of course it's not a lottery. Do you know what's a lottery? A lottery. Do you know what's not a lottery? People having to undergo a test of skill and character. Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck was that?
The lorry.
He's back.
It's back. I don't believe it.
Oh my goodness. He's like a...
He's just like parking up outside. Look at that. What a sight.
Oh my God.
It's a sign, Andrew. It's a sign I was supposed to be here all along.
There he is. Hey, lorry. How you doing, lorry? What are you doing there, guys?
It's like he knew. He sensed that one of my limbs might be veering into danger, and he's just come to save the day.
He's a homing, like a homing pigeon lorry.
Yeah, that's it. He's been homeless. He's been looking for it. It's like a pet, and it's just suddenly turned up again.
Oh.
Basically, so they've got these penalties, and you'd think South Americans, you know, quite technically proficient, but there have been some brilliant rubbish penalties. Like,
oh, have there?
Miles over the bar. Yeah. Well, like little stuttered run-ups and then just putting it wide. I've really enjoyed it. And what's great as well is I've really noticed a trend of when people miss, they sort of look back at the spot. So like they'll knock it like 50 yards over the bar and then turn and look at the spot. It's the equivalent of when, I don't know if the assumption to you, you're probably not quite as accident prone as me, but if you trip up in the street and then you look at the pavement, like, something wrong with that pavement, mate. Do you know what I mean?
It certainly wasn't my clumsiness.
No, it couldn't possibly be.
Yeah.
And David Ospina made a lot of headlines this week. Did you see any highlights of his performance?
I saw a couple of vines.
What better way to assess a performance?
Absolutely. It's the new YouTube. Yeah, I know. What an amazing save from Messi. I thought that was fantastic to get up on his feet. And Messi, as I pointed out in the blog today, his reaction was quite something.
And he made another great save as well, where he tipped it onto the post.
I saw that one as well, yeah. And it kind of rolled back across the post, and there was a guy on the post who just, hammered it. Hammered it clear. I love that. The good industrial clearance. That was great. He seems to have had a good time. He likes international tournaments, doesn't he?
He does, and thus will be particularly loath, I guess, to lose his club place. So, you know, it's interesting. The assumption is that he's going to be kind of forced out by Cech's arrival, but it's as possible that Szczesny has said, I'm prepared to stay and fight for my place, and Ospina has said, I'm not. I need to be first choice.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's behind it. If Ospina is the most likely candidate to leave, I think it's because he wants to play regular first team football, and you know is wise enough to realise that if Arsenal are spending £11 million on Petr Cech, then he's going to be the first choice, and that's the reality of the situation. And if you want to play, you got to go somewhere else.
Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll get a bit more money for him now he's done so well out in South America.
Very final question for you in this part of the show. What did you do to celebrate Arturo Lupoli's birthday?
I howled to the moon in honour of the wolfish young striker.
Excellent.
What's he up to these days? Fill me in.
He said, frantically Googling... he is playing for a team called, whoever the hell it was, Frosinone? I don't know how to pronounce that. All the Italians listening now will be going, oh, good Jesus. But his career trajectory was Arsenal to Derby County, where he scored 7 goals, it seems. Fiorentina, then Treviso, came back to England for a little while with some loan spells at Norwich City and Sheffield United. Then went to Ascoli, Grosseto, Varese, then he went to Budapest Honved on loan, and now is playing for Frosinone, whoever they are, and wherever they are. I don't quite know what part of Italy. They're in Rome, I guess. Yes, they're in Rome, playing in Serie C.
Wow.
So that's kind of what he's up to. But he and Bentner, of course, formed that magical, magical partnership at youth level for Arsenal. They scored a lot of goals between them. A lot of
goals.
They
did, yeah. I mean, Lupoli was kind of this... He was going to be the next fox in the box, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't pan out that way. 28 years old now.
Mm.
Nearly as old as me. Speaking of Bentner, did you see Kanye West sort of go full Bentner at Glastonbury, screaming, I am the greatest rock star alive on the planet?
I didn't because, frankly, I just, you know...
Life's too short.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Kanye in Glastonbury, not my thing.
Fair enough.
But it doesn't surprise me.
It was an extraordinary moment. He said, I've got something to say, you know, and in 30, 40 years, I might not be able to say it. And bear in mind, this was on the day where I think, you know, all the civil courts in America, or the day after it passed the... kind of gay rights legislation and things like that. And I was like, okay, it's going to be something profound. And then he just bellowed that he was the greatest rock star alive on the planet. And I literally burst out laughing.
He's entertaining, you have to say.
Oh, undoubtedly so. Undoubtedly so.
There's no question about that. Life's too short, I think. All right, look, we're going to take a short break. Actually, before we do that, somebody asked a question. I'm gonna pick it up here. If I can find it.
Okay.
It's Anthony Powell, AJ Powell, UK, who said, why do you have parts 1 and 2?
That is a really good question.
Well, yeah, I guess it is, but it's a quite... The answer is quite simple.
Why do we have a little break?
Yeah.
What is the answer?
The answer is the format of the show lends itself to a commercial break in the middle. If and when we ever got... any commercials. So we could play a little 30-second ad or 20-second ad or something like that, and it becomes part of the show quite seamlessly. People wouldn't say, No, they've broken show into two parts for commercial reasons, those money-grabbing bastards.
It's genius. Yeah. It's genius.
So that's what it is. And also because the two parts of the show are indeed quite distinct. One is just us talking to each other, and the other part is us talking to each other. But with, obviously, the input of listeners and
an
readers.
An interactive element. We're fools now, Andrew. Why didn't we have 10 parts? Think of all the sponsorship opportunities then.
Fuck. Fuck,
mate.
Okay, well, I'm going to take this this break to just cry a little.
Okay, all right, let's go and have a little cry, and then we'll be back. We'll be back shortly.
Welcome back to this Arsecast Extra. Time now for the question sent to us on Twitter at Gunnarblog and at Arseblog. And seeing as we're on the theme of Glastonbury and all that kind of stuff. The first question is from Sasha Wild, at Sasha Wild 11.
Oh, I can't see his tweets because I think he's blocked me or something.
Oh, has he? What did you do?
I don't know. He used to send me like a lot of angry messages, and then eventually he stopped. So I think he must have just got sick of me. But listen, Sasha, unblock me. Let me see what you're saying about me.
Yeah,
I'm interested. Let's hear this question though.
Well, the question is, why is Gunnarblog such a cunt? No, it's not, actually.
It's a valid question.
Yeah, it is, it is. And we all know why, so there's no need to go into it. But look, the question is, would you have liked to see Czech have his photos taken at Glastonbury and be unveiled on the stage?
Ooh. Well, as like a sort of, that would have been great, actually. What if in, like, Kanye's set, you know, he had a great light show, if it all went dark and then the spotlight appeared, Petr Cech comes out, and they launch into, you know, a duet.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On Jesus Walks or something. Yeah. I would absolutely love that.
I saw a bit of a clip of some guy, some comedian chap, rushing on stage to
Lee Nelson.
Lee Nelson. He sounds like not very funny. Just his name.
It's not his real name, I believe. That's the character's name. I forget his real name.
Ah, okay.
But I didn't actually see that bit, but apparently he just charged on the stage.
That's
or something,
a really terrible. If you were going to make up a character name, you'd at least think of one that could be like funny.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It took me a long time to come up with James from Gunnarblog, but I think it's pretty good.
I would call myself Mandrake Fisticuffs. See?
I think you should call yourself that.
Yeah, that would be a great name.
Simon Brodkin is his real name.
Right.
Which
that's
I would say...
Certainly, that's funnier than Lee Nelson.
Yeah, that was his first mistake.
Mm.
But anyway, nice that he got on there, Kenny. I think that would have been cool to see Czech unveiled in that way. I went to the kit launch this year, and every time there's a kit launch, there are people going around going, I wonder if a player's going to be unveiled, like in the new kit. But it never, ever, ever happens.
Oh, yeah. like a new signing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, last year's kit launch, when it's the first Puma kit launch, they actually announced the Alexis Sanchez signing simultaneously to the kit launch happening. So the kit launch was happening live at the Puma store in London about 9 p.m.
Right.
And then .com put up an article saying, oh, we signed Alexis Sanchez. But the opportunity to be like, here's the new kit, and it's being worn by an unexpected new player is never taken.
No, no. Come on, marketing and transfer people, get yourselves together and revolutionize the transfer industry, because that's what we need. We need for PR people and marketing people and sponsorships to dictate transfers. That's
the next
gotta go.
Logical step, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Why are you such a cunt?
Oh, right. Yeah, because of my childhood. Okay, let's go with the next question. This is from Jamie Kemp, right?
Right.
This is a good question. Sometimes people do this. I like this. He's written this in his notes on his iPhone and he's screen grabbed it. So it's a long question just to prepare you.
Okay.
Okay. He asks, as we are all aware, It seems too nice of Chelsea to sell us Cech. What if he is in fact a Trojan horse and Mourinho has loaded him with a deadly virus he will then spread to Sanchez and Ozil, etc.? Like, when he's holding up his new shirt, he'll be oddly hugging all our best players. Or more like what the Greeks did late at night. He'll stay at the stadium and things will come out of him and destroy our club. Because to be honest, he's big enough to be a Trojan horse. Is he a Trojan horse? And if so, what things would these be that are concealed inside him?
Well.
Good question, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. I think the first thing we need to say is that the Trojan horse was made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm aware, Petr Cech is not made of wood. So
no, but we do know that there is a hole in his head that you could use as the kind of entrance and exit to him.
Maybe that's what the hat's covering up, like a little hatch.
Exactly.
Wow, do you remember that? I don't know if you remember this, but wasn't there a cartoon called the Numbskulls? They used to live inside this guy's head.
Little teeny tiny,
almost like minions, who are great. I'd love a minion. That would be brilliant.
I want to see that film, actually. I shamelessly admit that.
He could have little teeny tiny men who could...
I think that's maybe where Sean Wright Phillips still is. After all this time.
They could smear polonium all over the seats of the stadium, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Could do things like that. I think if I was an evil genius and I was trying to take down an entire football club by selling them a person who had things inside them, I'd like the idea of those things to be propelled out of somebody rather than just sort of creeping or oozing or opening a little hatch. So I would like, if it was the case that Petr Cech was being sent to us to destroy all our best players, that perhaps in the dressing room he could fart poison-tipped bees at people while they're in the shower. And nobody would know because they'd go, oh, did you fart again? And then all of a sudden Alexis is lying there going, my leg, it's swollen and grotesque. And it won't work for football anymore. And Petr Cech is just going, I have done this with my poison-tipped bees that I fart. That would be what I would like.
So that is a good idea. It's making me wonder if maybe we could... use Lukas Podolski or someone like that for a similar purpose. One of the players we're looking to offload this summer. Can we somehow get them into... That's the issue. We can't get a good club, a rival club, to buy any of the players we want to get rid of.
Yeah.
Tricky one.
Yeah, it is. But to answer the question, no, I don't think he's a Trojan horse. But look, as much as I hate Mourinho, and I really do, if he were to plan something like that and carry it off, you'd nearly have to doff your cap to the evil genius of it all.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Mm. All right, here's a question from Simon King, who wants to know who has the best accent while speaking English. Bellerin, Chesney, and Arteta are personal favourites.
Yeah, they're all good. I like Bellerin a lot. He's got a sort of enjoyable Cockney Catalan mess of a voice. Cockland's not bad.
Yeah.
I always remember Jeremy Allardyce. Do you remember Jeremy Allardyce's accent?
Yeah, I was just going to say that he had got a very interesting accent. We must see if I can find a little clip here.
Yeah,
Jeremy Allardyce interview, and we'll see if we can get it. Okay, here's one. This is when he's playing for Borough.
Okay.
Very, very happy again today to score the only goals and make the team win. Yeah, very, very pleased. Yeah, like I said last time, I just, maybe more focus on it and concentrate and try to get in a better position to score goals. So, I've been thinking a lot about it lately and obviously certainly it's just start happening. So I'm delighted,
Oh, that's the best bit. I'm delighted.
Yeah. It's absolutely bewildering.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's definitely right up there. But of the current crop, I think Bellerin's probably the best.
His Spockney.
Spockney. I'm enjoying that, yeah.
Yeah, Bellerin's good. I'm trying to think, is anyone else? You see, the thing is, when they come over at a young age, they tend to pick up the language a lot easier and a lot quicker than the slightly older players, I think.
Well, Yeah, well, that's why I think Arsenal are quite keen to get people in at like 14, 15, because it does make their accents that much funnier.
Yeah.
In later life.
It's a key consideration in why we sign players.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All right.
Should I have another one?
Yeah.
Helpfully, I've gone away from the page where I had them all. Okay, we had a couple of questions about this. This one's from Jack Williams. He says, I feel like we're all ignoring a key issue at the moment. Ooh, a bit stern from Jack. He's annoyed us.
Yeah. Right.
Who do we play at right back next season? Bellerin, Debussy, or even Jenkinson? And Duryea Florian followed that up as well by saying, how do you see our right back situation in 1 or 2 years?
1 or 2 years?
See into the future.
Hang on.
Robots.
Oh, no!
The monkeys are taking over!
I don't know in 1 or 2 years. I mean, I think there's tremendous competition there, isn't there, between Bellerin and Debussy. You know, you wonder who's going to start as first choice next season. I mean, I think it probably should be Bellerin.
I think so as well.
I like Debussy, and he was obviously bought to help us transition from Sanya to perhaps Jenkinson in the long term. Maybe that's what that plan was, buying a 29-year-old, but he's had such a difficult time with injury, and Bellerin took his chance so well, it'd be almost harsh not to play him, because he does have a really interesting impact on the way the team plays, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what the manager is planning on doing on the right-hand side of the attack or the midfield next season. But look, it's too difficult to say really with any assurance, because the manager might say, well, look, I like Bellerin, he's come along very well, but let's have a really experienced, solid back four, which would include Debussy. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a great problem to have. I don't see Jenkinson as a candidate for next season at all. I think he's going to go on loan, isn't he? So, yeah, it's between Debussy and Bellerin, and maybe preseason will give us a few more hints, but all in all, a fairly healthy situation to be in.
Yeah, I agree. And I think probably Bellerin will have the edge at the start of preseason, but very competitive, very close, which is probably just what you want.
Yeah. All right, here's a question from Ricky G at Geezy Peas, the man with the tender kisses.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, what are the top three football opinions or suggestions you've shared publicly that you wish you hadn't? And he gives a couple of examples, like Stuart Pearce saying Dennis Bergkamp was a waste of money, or Neil Ashton saying Mesut Ozil was nicking a living.
Wow, okay. There've been a few. Well, because do you know what? You know that thing where people go into Twitter and dig out things you said years ago?
People do that?
Yeah,
they couldn't
yeah.
be so cruel, could they?
I know. There's one that does come up every now and again, which I made a comment on Sebastian Squillaci's Arsenal debut, where I said he looked sort of very rugged, very competent, very experienced, and probably just what we needed at that time.
I don't think that's such an outrageous opinion, though. You know, hindsight or history has proven it to be
nonsense. Yeah,
yeah, but
absolute,
you know,
shite.
At the time when we bought Squillaci, we needed a centre half. We're bringing in a French international who had been playing in La Liga for a club that was winning things, had won European trophies. I think he won the championship, didn't he, as well in France. You know, you're looking at it in terms of the boxes that it might tick. That's a good one.
All right, well, there you go. And more recently, I think we talked on the podcast about who would be our top scorer of the season. I think I said Danny Welbeck with 20 goals. So I was out on that as well.
Yeah, I've kind of blocked that one out of my mind.
Yeah. I think you were right. I think you said Alexis, and I think you were close with the numbers.
Right.
So there you go.
I don't remember that at all.
No, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But they're the highlights. What about you? Have you ever been drastically wrong, or are you always absolutely correct?
Have I ever been drastically wrong in 13 years of writing about Arsenal? Yes, I'm sure Yeah. I mean, I think the one that sticks out for me was saying that Alex Song would never be good enough to play for Arsenal, and that proved to be wrong in the sense that he did continue to play for Arsenal for a number of years after that. And I learned a lesson from that, I have to say. in the sense that after that, I tried to be a bit more, what's the word, understanding or less definitive about making judgments on players at a very early stage in their career. I mean, I stand by the point at that time, I don't think Alex Song was ready to play for Arsenal, but circumstances dictated that he was played a bit more often than he should have been, I think, ahead of his time, no? Mm. But, you know, that's a way that you can be wrong. You can be proven wrong by players, as Coquelin has shown us in a very nice way.
This is the Coquelin principle.
So I think that was the biggest one. I can't really... I'm sure there have been loads, but like you say, I can't remember.
Tweet them in, guys. If you remember stuff and Andrew's got massively wrong, dig them up, find them.
Yeah. I'm sure there's loads now are going to be inundated. Oh, well. Right. Your question.
My question. Let's have a look. Okay, this is from at Eliza. She says... I can't really remember the context of this. Will you apologise for saying dogs are great? Because they're clearly not great, and I am offended.
Well, Eliza, we've had, in the very recent past on this podcast, a discussion about where people have been wrong. Mm. Where James and I got it wrong. And we've held our hands up and said, look, we've had our moments. We don't claim to be infallible. But this... is perhaps the wrongest thing I've ever heard. Dogs are great. I'm not saying that they're the only thing that's great. Perhaps you're a cat person. Maybe you like cats. And there is sometimes a rivalry between people who say, cats are great and dogs are great. I say, like what you like. You can like cats and dogs. I've had a number of cats. I had Bill the cat. He was a great cat, but he died. I still thought he was great, though. But also, dogs are great. I don't understand how people can't think dogs are great. And I'm deeply, deeply suspicious of people who don't like dogs. I really am.
I agree with you.
There's a brilliant video. Mrs. Blog sent it to me last week of this man. He's a Russian man. And he walks into a room with about 8 pug puppies. And then he just lies on the floor talking in Russian, going, and the puppies just go, and they're just trying to love him to death. Anyone that doesn't like puppies, there's something wrong with them. They're missing something.
Mm.
There's something very, very wrong with them. And I don't trust them, and I wouldn't do business with them.
So any business dealings between you and Eliza are off?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm glad we've cleared that up.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a dog in my new place. It's a beagle. And it's very lovely. I'm enjoying its company enormously.
Mm. Yeah.
Although there is hair absolutely everywhere.
Well, they are hairy. They are hairy. The hairless dogs are not nice.
They're not my favourite.
No.
No.
Chinese crested thingies, I think they're called.
I see.
They're not the best dogs. But look, dogs are great. And I think to cover up all the tweets about people pointing out where I was wrong, people should tweet pictures of their own dogs at us. That would be great.
I'd quite like that. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, let's see your dogs, folks.
Let's have it.
Yeah. All right, here's a question. And this one comes from Taniel Comus.
Okay.
It's the double A thing going on. And he wants to know, I'm a bit late with this, but with the season over, who is your favourite character from Game of Thrones?
Well, I'm behind Game of Thrones. I've only seen about 2 series.
Right.
So I imagine everyone who I know from it is already dead.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way it goes.
Yeah.
But I like, what is his name? I'm going to have to Google something now.
Gandalf.
Yeah, that's it. I like Obi-Wan. he's my favourite. Peter Dinklage, that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't tell me if he's dead or not.
Tyrion Lannister.
But he's good fun.
He's not dead.
Oh, spoiler. Spoiler for everyone.
Yeah.
If you know someone's not dead in Game of Thrones, you know they're basically king or something because they're just all that's left standing. Mm. So yeah, I like him. What about you?
I like the Hound. The Hound, he was the big guy. And I'm going to have to play this scene because it is one of the great scenes from Game of Thrones.
You still got it?
What horn?
My sword. Needle.
Needle. Of course you named your sword.
Lots of people name their swords.
Lots of cunts.
So that's my favourite scene, I think, of all time from Game of Thrones.
I should probably say the dragon woman,
the
Khaleesi, because she came to see me in a show.
Oh, yeah. Did she? She didn't subsequently follow you on Twitter or anything?
She's not on Twitter, Andrew, otherwise I'm sure she would have done.
Oh, right. Well, that explains. That's the why.
Yeah.
That's why.
So, yeah, I should probably say her.
The dragon woman, yeah.
That's her full name, isn't it?
Well, yeah, well, she's certainly not in any danger of being typecast there.
Okay.
The dragon woman. She should make a remake of, what was that great film? Pete's Dragon. Do you remember that?
Of course I remember Pete's Dragon, mate, yeah.
You know, you're particularly dragon-esque, aren't you, with your dinosaurs and cartoons and all that?
Yeah, sort of ancient and mythical reptiles. That's my whole thing.
Actually, I got an email this morning from...
Denver the Last Dinosaur?
No. Not him. Let me see. Bum, from Trey, who sent us Gunnosaurus-zilla. Remember we were talking about it, like Gunnosaurus
going on a rampage?
I'm just tweeting it right at this very moment, so if you can get on Twitter, you can have a look at it.
I'm
just going to tweet it, and look at this. Isn't that brilliant?
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, I know this is not a visual medium, but guys, you got to check this out on Twitter.
Yeah. You can see it on my timeline right now. It's Gunnosaurus-zilla laying waste to the landscape, burning buildings with his mighty power and big feet and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's cool.
Very cool.
Yes.
Any more? Are we doing any more?
Yeah, go on, do another one. And I'll have one more then, and we'll probably have to call it a day after that.
Right, now this is a stupid question. He's already had a question on, I think, Simon King.
Yeah.
What can I say? He's prolific. He says...
Now you're setting dangerous precedents again. You did this before.
I know. It's like I just don't care about the rules in a way.
Yeah.
So he goes, have you considered changing the blog to discuss arses of the world during the summer and avoid transfer speculation?
No.
Can I ask you something? Do you know how on your like Google Analytics you can see what people have typed in order to arrive at Arseblog?
Oh, yeah.
You must get some interesting stuff.
There have been some interesting things, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. From time to time I do, I look those up and look at some of the search engine referrals or the way that people have arrived, you know?
Mm.
And I must just do a few here now while we're speaking about it.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, it is a good name. It's a name clearly alluding to Arsenal, but it could be misinterpreted.
Yeah, it could well be. I'm just trying to search queries. Here we go. So it'll probably give me the top 10 search queries. Oh, no, that's AdWords. Where's all my where's my search queries in general? Let's see. Site search. No, we don't have that. Search.
Have you ever like gone into a meeting and they've said, what's the name of your site? And you've said Arseblog and they've clearly thought, I'm in the wrong meeting.
No, that hasn't quite happened, thankfully. let me see. Source. I don't know where the search things are. Google.
I get emails from people who want to talk to me about guns, like actual guns.
Really?
I think there is a gunner blog in America, you know, with a dash in it or something, and it's about, you know, gun licensing and...
Yeah.
Things like that. So, yeah, I genuinely get emails about that from time to time.
Right. I can't find where the search terms is in Google Analytics. There's all kinds of stuff in here, like geolocation and all that kind of stuff, but I can't find where the search stuff is. That's weird. Query, maybe this is it. Okay, yeah, all right. At last I have some here. So I'm going to show 500 rows. So the top query is Arseblog. The next one is Arsenal. For some reason, and this is only for the month of,
June,
yeah. June, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. Oh, of course, that's the FA Cup final.
Ah.
Anouk Hoogendijk.
Oh, she's doing well, is she?
She's doing quite well. There's Arseblog as two separate words.
Suspicious.
Dick Law is in there.
Yeah.
He's in there. Let's see what else we have. Michael Ricketts. That's an interesting one.
All your fabled Michael Ricketts content.
Yeah. Ara's blog. So that's Ara's blog spelled incorrectly.
Right.
Let's see what else is down here. Jack Wilshere goal.
They're very good. Very good goals, generally, when he does bother to score them.
Gunnar Blog is in there.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go... Oh, Mork calling Orson.
Of course.
Yes. That's quite a good one. What does the FC stand for in soccer?
That's great.
That's a pretty good one.
That's
what
great.
What does the FC stand for in soccer? Now we're just getting into some crazy things. Gunnar's blog. Who is Gunnar blog?
That's probably one of my people who's taking photos of me in the street or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is Gunnar Block? Someone, I imagine that's all in caps, furious, lots of question marks afterwards.
Yeah, let me see what else. Why are we talking about this?
I can't remember. Are you going to change the blog to be about arses?
No, because I think, generally speaking, arses aren't... we don't need to look at arses. There's enough on the internet to look, to find arses. You can find arses wherever you want.
I mean, on every street.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you got another one?
I do have one final question, and this is from... shit. I did have it there. crap. Where the hell is it? Maybe I went over it with my... I went over it with analytics. I think that was the first one I did. Come on. Oh, yes. Okay, this one comes from Arson's Handbrake. And he wants to know, it's at Tom Singleton 82, do you think it would be funny if James stabbed Shia LaBeouf in the leg with a compass?
Yes, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It would be really funny. Because he'd probably do like a YouTube rant about it, wouldn't he? Go crazy.
Yeah, well, I could do a little on the whistle video as well.
Yeah.
With my analysis of the events.
Yeah.
About how it was an even encounter. We all gave our best or something. Yeah. Some sort of banality. And then, why not? Let's make it happen. I actually auditioned once to be in a film with Shia LaBeouf. And apparently he was quite keen on getting me to do it. But then they gave the part to Ron Weasley.
Right. Was this the film where he had actual sex with all the actors?
I think it was. It was one of those mental ones. It was a really weird art film, but it's a shame because had I got the part, I would have been in the proximity to stab him.
In the leg with a compass?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not talking about stabbing him fatally because that would that's wrong.
I'm not a violent man.
Yeah.
But give me a compass and anything could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we made it to the end?
I think so.
That's brilliant. I can put the cheese grater down.
I was just going to say, though, the last few minutes haven't been great, and I think by way of making recompense, you should injure yourself in some way.
Okay, well, why don't I do that as we play out?
All right, okay.
All right.
Ignore the screams, folks. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.